They came from across America. The Endless Talker, the Horror Host, the Southern Sensation,
the Comic Book Clergyman.
They meet here in the basement of an abandoned comic book shop for one purpose and one purpose only: to drink from the water cooler of stories and talk about comic books. This is Tales from the Water Cooler.
So, welcome everybody to this week's Tales from the Water Cooler.
Water Cooler?
That's, what are we on, 59?
Something like that.
We're about to hit 60?
Man. Yeah.
We're getting old.
Speaking of getting old,
Happy birthday.
Thank you. it's not my birthday. But I had three appliances break down this week. My Jeep broke down. My washing machine broke down. And my lawnmower broke down.
Oh, man.
Sounds like you got gremlins.
Ooh.
It does sound like gremlins, yeah.
Yep. That'd be awesome. Like, remember that Twilight Zone episode with William Shatner where he looks out on the plane's wing and there's that dude dressed up like looks like a bear, but he's really supposed to be a gremlin and he's like ripping the plane apart? Do y'all know what I'm talking about?
So you want giant gremlins?
I remember that.
God, I love that episode.
Thanks for reminding me of it, and I have to take a plane in a couple of days. Thank you. Yeah.
Just don't sit next to the window.
just do it like 30 Rock style. There's someone on the wing. Oh, wait, it's just the guy gassing it up. Okay, we're good.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh, goodness. So, all right, well, who's here this week?
Infinite Speech.
The Comic Book Clergyman.
And Decapitated Dan. How was your week? How was your week, Speech?
my week was a little bit too eventful. So I'm glad that it's slowing down now.
Well, that's good. That's good.
The world was almost speechless.
Oh, what a great way to phrase that.
That's nice. But luckily you're agile like a mountain cat.
Yes, like a mountain cat with a little bit of ninja and Batman thrown in.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's great.
That is great. Hey, I got one for you guys. You ever played Munchkin?
What's Munchkin?
Sounds like a dirty game you played.
Why does it? No.
Like 12 or 13.
It's not a dirty game. It's a card game.
Hey, baby, let's play Munchkin.
Oh, God.
Well, it just got dirty. Welcome to the water cooler, everybody. No, it's a card game.
Munchkin? No.
Yeah, next time you go to the LCS, you'll see it. But I'm going to say, Jeff, I think that you should check this one out for the family. I think you...
Munchkin?
I'll enjoy. Basically what it is, it's they say it's a card version of Dungeons & Dragons, but it's in my opinion, it's not. But I've never played Dungeons & Dragons, so I can't really attest to that. There's two stacks of cards... And the object is to be the first one to level up to 10. And you can only really level up by defeating monsters.
Nice.
But basically, you know, you flip over a card, and if it's a monster, you have to defeat it. And depending on, like, what level you are, and then any added weapons you have in your hands or stuff like that. And if you can't beat it, then you ask for help. But people can only screw you over.
Nice.
And like make the monster stronger. And we picked it up and it was a lot of fun. I was really looking forward to getting to check it out because I always heard people talking about it and stuff like that. But I think it'd be really good for a family. It'd be more fun for a family or a group of people than it is just for two people to play it. So I'm looking for more people to play it with.
You haven't trained your cats to play?
No, but speaking of that, I got an app that's a cat game that Frisky's made. And my cat got 100 points. It's all
fantastic. I'm looking at the website now, and they've got Munchkin, like all these different kinds of Munchkin.
Yeah, been around for forever.
They got Munchkin zombies,
vampires, zombies, superheroes,
Munchkin Cthulhu.
Yep,
Yep. Oh my.
And the best part is you can mix all the decks. It doesn't matter because everything's numbered the same.
And now they have Munchkin Axe Cop.
Oh god.
Yes,
and Munchkin Conan and Munchkin Apocalypse. Wow, I'm gonna check that out.
I think I paid $20 and I got the deluxe original version because it has the board with it, so it's easier to move your
Now this better not be one of those things that you say, "Hey Jeff, check this link out." And it's either, you know, something really sketchy or something like that. So if I get it, it better be appropriate for my kids or I'll be pissed.
What's the age range on it?
I don't know. I can't
see. Look at that before you do anything. Jeez.
But
Be a responsible parent.
I have to do everything Decapitated Dan tells me.
Oh goodness. If you get a chance and you think about it, if you go to the website for the game, there's a demo that you can play out and it'll kind of run you through it. If you think it's fun, give it a chance. I know a lot of people out there play it and it's fun, and we gave it a chance, and I just want to throw a shout out to it because it was cool.
Cool. That's it.
So anything else you guys want to talk about this week? Anything new and exciting in the world of comics?
Nothing new and exciting, I don't think.
No news that we need to talk about? I don't know if anything exciting happened this past week.
I got my books on time.
Nice. Did you get anything good?
Which just means that I was able to
go up there on a Wednesday?
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, I got some good stuff. So you'll hear about it next week.
Cool.
I heard that Pervy Dan his LCS accidentally I'm not supposed to say this, he's gonna be pissed that I said this, but I've already started the story. But that his LCS pre-ordered Avengers versus X-Men number 1 and he already has it and has already read it. And so
yeah, by the time people hear this, okay.
It'll be out. But it's not supposed to be though.
Yeah,
done. They could get in trouble.
Isn't
well? I think it was a mistake. To be fair,
I know it was, but
yeah. Isn't that the same thing as some people when they have like the mail order subscription, they get them a week in advance? Not that it happens all the time, so don't stop going to your LCS, folks. But I've heard, and I don't know if it still happens, but I've heard that sometimes if you have the mail order, you will get a book a week early.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you guys ever subscribe to books?
I did. My very first subscription actually was G.I. Joe, the Marvel G.I. Joe series.
Wow.
What was your speech? Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I was going to say, but it's funny. I got rid of all those for some reason back a long time ago, and I've never gotten into G.I. Joe since. I mean,
missing out.
I know. I mean, I other than what you bring to the water cooler, I don't read anything else, but sounds good.
That's so you only got one. You didn't go for the two for, you know, $15 compared to the one for $16.
No.
My first two that I subscribed to were What If, and I think Uncanny X-Men.
Wow.
Yeah.
Speech, did you ever do that? Subscribe.
Nope. It seemed like no matter where we moved to, there was a store like a block or two away.
That's nice.
So I didn't have to.
There was always this really horrible time where you would open up the mailbox and you'd be so excited because you were looking forward to your comic book being in there, and you would open it up and they had just started polybagging
in their magic Marvel backer board that came with it.
Oh no. This was pre backer board.
Oh, okay.
And so you open up the mailbox, and the stupid mail person folded it in half, stuck in there.
That's what happens every time my heavy metal issues come in. Every single time.
Yeah,
they
hated that.
Cram it in there. They're like, this is smut. But you save so much money subscribing to heavy metal compared to going and getting new ones. I got to do it that way.
There you go.
Very cool. All right, well, let's move on to the question segment of the show. It's time for a little WWISD.
WWF. ISD.
Don't you need a T? WWTF ISD?
I've lost
you. You didn't get it.
No, I guess I didn't.
WTF? That's what I'm saying. That's what
Yeah, over my head. Anyways, no song, blah, blah, blah. Go over to the forums. Give us some suggestions. We really need some at this point. we got to skip the one.
Are we getting to the bottom of
I have four, and we're going to do two of them right now.
All right.
So we definitely need people to come up with some good ones and send them over to us. All right. So the first one comes to us from Pervy Dan, or the Spider-Man Geek, and he says, and this one's really going to help him out, we know this, you're attending the Ottawa Comic Con on a press pass representing Comic Attack.
.net.
You have to interview a guest, but only have time/permission to pick one of the following: Sir Patrick Stewart, Lou Ferrigno, or Elvira.
Oh, that's a great question.
Oh, God. All right. That is a good one. Because you got two that, like, represent, like, my childhood growing up. Lou Ferrigno playing the Hulk and Elvira, you know, coming on at 8 o'clock at night. I was a little guy. She had huge cups, so that's all it took there. But Patrick Stewart, seriously? Oh, man.
Hmm.
While
you're thinking of your answer, there was a good conversation about Elvira.
Yes, there was.
On that.
It was a very obvious choice for me.
Yeah.
And I made it very clear that you should interview her and the twins.
Oh, man.
And was it you, Jeff, that said the twins are tennis balls and socks at this point?
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, like, right now in 2012, they don't stack up the same way they did in 1985.
Well, but somebody proved me wrong, and they showed a recent picture of her, and she still looked pretty good. So
she's still on TV right now.
Oh,
really?
Man.
Yes.
Well, see, at that point, it boils down to her or Patrick Stewart.
Lou Ferrigno would be the first one off of my list as well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but
I just want to talk about the King of Queens, and he wouldn't want to. And
I think
unless he was painted green.
You know what? I may regret this and get punched in the face, but
No.
Yeah, Patrick Stewart, man. I'd go for Pat. Yeah, I'd interview Patrick Stewart because that opportunity, Elvira would probably come around again more often than I'd be able to, you know, get to sit and talk with Patrick Stewart. So on an availability thing, I'd go with Patrick first and hope to get Elvira on the comeback.
Very cool. Very cool.
Here's what I want to know is how come Elvira has never been on Discussions with Decapitated Dan? I feel like she should be.
That's easy to get a hold of. Do you think it hasn't been tried before?
Oh, okay.
No, I actually, a lot of people probably don't know this, but a comic book company called Claypool put out Elvira comics, and I give you both one guess to guess how many issues came out of this series.
One.
Jeff?
I'll say two because that seems to be the magic number with Elvira.
150.
What? Oh. Wow.
150 issues of this series came out.
Holy cow.
It is impossible to find. And I had approached. We're gonna skip the other WWISD for this, but I had approached Claypool, the guy who owns Claypool, still owns the name, but doesn't put anything out, about possibly collecting these because there are two trades that collect the first 10. But you know, with the omnibuses and shit that come out, you know, I had approached him, and he said that we were gonna get in touch with her, and so. A few emails went back and forth, but this was before the podcasting. That's the end of the story. So anyways, if you have a WWISD, go over to comicattack.net. And go to the forums, go to podcasts, go to Tales from the Water Cooler, go to WWISD. and leave us one. We're down to four. We need more. And I don't want any that have to do with turtles and aliens, for Christ's sake. So with that, guys, let's go ahead and dive into this week's picks.
Whee! Splash.
And this week's picks are going to be brought to us by the two websites that actually host the show. First, we'll have a little bit of comicattack.net, which we always pimp at the end of the show, so we'll save that. The other is TMVV Cafe. TMV Cafe, for those who don't know, is kind of like an internet radio station where every Tuesday at, I believe, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, you can tune in and listen to us kind of live, like if we were really in the studio doing something. And they have lots of programming that they do every night of the week, so you can go over there and check some of the stuff out. And it's not all comic book stuff. There's many different shows. I think one of them's about eating pies. I'm not lying. One of them's wow. Pie something.
Is that a euphemism?
No, I think it's just about eating pies.
Oh, okay.
Tonight on the program, we're going to have a rhubarb.
Hey.
So, many props to them and many thanks to them for sharing the show with the masses. So, up first this week, we have Speech's pick. What'd you pick this week?
Thunderbolts, number 171.
Thunderbolts, 171. As the T-Bolts continue their escape through time, Songbird has an island vacation, but in Tahiti, a mad scientist sets his sights on Melissa Gold, but he ain't the only one mad about it.
What?
Of course. I'm just reading what it says.
He didn't write it. He's just reading it.
That's right. We've got Jeff Parker as the writer, Kev Walker on pencils.
The Thunderbolts dream team, I tell you. They need to stay on this book forever. So, what we get here is a self-contained story. It's all about Songbird. I mean, everybody else pops up for brief moments where, you know, the further the little subplots. But she's on her vacation, and it gets real campy and corny, and it's just fun. You get the mad scientist. When she gets captured, you know, she falls for the cute guy on the beach. Next thing you know, she wakes up strapped to a table, which is, you know, not how you want to spend your vacation. And the guy, the doctor, they want to experiment on her. I forgot his name, Dr. like Dorcas or yep. something, or Dork. Yeah. You know, and the dude has this mask on, and he's got the blood all over the apron. Half of her head has been shaved. She's got like this huge incision, and there is this all these mutated sea creatures. It's like a Dr. Moreau type thing. And it's just Kev Walker's art is just so fucking awesome.
Amen.
Period. This issue right here is why I think this guy should never leave this title, or they should just rotate somebody else but always bring him back. And the writing on the story was just great because, I mean, her character, they've been building her up left and right throughout the series, but this looks like it's going to be a turning point for her because she discovered a new power. Well, hinted back to an old power, and she seems a little bit more, I guess, off kilter towards the end of the book. But I mean, there's just so much good stuff, especially with the whole when the doctor walks in the room with just the bath towel on and you see that he's like half starfish. That design could have been horrible, but that was just disgustingly creepy. He's got like the ooze coming out the belly button, and he had the two other women with him earlier. So no telling what went there. You got the little imp creature that was like licking her feet till she woke up, and that was just so gross, but it was just funny because his eyes are shut and he's just licking toes. It's just awesome. So I'm going to just go ahead and pass it off to Jeff.
Creepy thing number one. You're on a beat.
Bug flight my nose. Is that creepy?
That's creepy. You know, you get kidnapped, you get strapped to the table, somebody does surgery on your head. That's creepy thing number one. Creepy thing number two, you're looking around and you see all these creatures in tanks, and they're actually talking, trying to talk because they're half human. Okay. Creepy thing number three, freaking Dr. Dorcas and everything about him scares me. I mean, scares the hell out of me. That mask, I don't want him to take that mask off. And then he he comes in and he's wearing a bath towel. And the thing that made that so creepy was the oozy stuff that's coming, that's on the bath towel.
Yeah, it's coming out of his belly button hole, has teeth inside.
Oh, that's gross. And then creepy thing number, I forgot what number I'm for. that little blowfish guy licking her toes. I mean, I'm sorry. This book creeped me out. Like, I thought it was brilliant and wonderful. I mean, I just didn't expect this at all in a Thunderbolts book. But I mean, talk about a one and done book that just blew me away and didn't have any characters that I had ever really spent much time with before. This almost didn't even seem like a Marvel book, honestly. But I have to also echo your sentiments about Kev Walker. He's like the good Greg Land. Like, seriously, like, he's got a realistic, almost a photorealistic style. His line work is and his panel work is very similar to Greg Land's. But this is like good, and Greg Land is horrible. So, this guy is freaking phenomenal in all ways. So, I this book just creeped me out. We're gonna talk a little bit more about Dan's pick, but this creeped me out a lot more than that. So, I'll pass it to you, Dan.
All right, well, you guys have done a good job praising Kev Walker, but we also got to talk about Terry Pallett and Frank Martin Jr.
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw the nod to Frank Martin Jr. because a lot of this looks like it's coloring that really pops it.
Yeah.
So hats off to them. Artwork is just, you guys have already said it, it's just beautiful throughout the entire book. Story-wise, you guys covered it as well. This is a good one shot. It's nice and creepy. I would have actually liked to see this maybe play out over two issues, because I want to see what's behind that mask.
Oof.
I know you don't want to, because everything else is creepy. But the belly button the arms creeped me out more than the belly button.
Yeah, what, the underarm thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that creeped me out too.
The starfish bottom.
Well,
I've never seen this character before. Is he always like this?
I don't remember ever seeing him ever. This was my first time as well. But I'm saying, like, anytime that you got really, really creeped out, just go back up to Kev Walker's bikini shots of Songbird.
Well, there's that. Yeah, there's that. Yeah.
Hilarious.
Well, and I mean, that shows you that something, that the things that creep me out the most in any kind of media are things that are slightly human but are just barely twisted. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that creeps me out more than like a full on monster or something.
Sure.
Like that.
Sure.
Ugh. God. The licking of the toes. That just disturbed me. I mean, this book left me feeling so unsettled. But that's a good thing, because it created a visceral response with me. So.
I'm kind of curious where this is going to lead to, because I know in the next issue all the old Thunderbolts are coming back.
Well, what makes it worse, that whole toe scene, is the fact that it's like, what, it's four panels, and all you hear is lap, 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 lap for like four panels, and then you finally get to see, and I already knew what the sound was, especially when she lifts her head up, and that point of view that Kev chose to show that panel at, that was just great. Those last two panels of the toe scene, it's her vantage point looking down, and then you get to see what she's looking at, and it's got the green slime and everything. It's great.
Ugh.
Only in Thunderbolts.
Has this book been like this?
You mean just awesome? Yeah. Yeah, it has.
Okay.
The only time, like, I really get frustrated when Kev isn't on the art, because when you see this and the amount of talent that he brings to it, and especially when you do get the trifecta, like Dan was saying, with inks and colors to make the book look as good as it does, it's kind of a letdown when the art doesn't match that. But the writing from Parker has pretty much been on point for quite some time now. You know, anybody who dropped this title is an idiot. You know, anybody who says, you know, this title is dead to them in the past, that is a true idiot and needs to read the Thunderbolts again.
Is that Sinestro?
like Sinestro, yeah.
Hey, hey, focus, Thunderbolts. So let's go ahead and rate this.
Who did? No, here's a question. you know what? I've never really seen this character before, but that the inside cover, that's a cool design on that costume. Who drew that one? Do you know?
Of her costume.
Her older, yeah, her older look.
Oh, that's Mark Bagley.
Yeah, that's an old one. Yeah,
that's the original.
You're right. Fight, that's funny because now I can see the Spider-Man, the Ultimate Spider-Man. In it. That's pretty good. All right, go ahead, guys.
I will give Thunderbolts a 9.
I'll give it an 8.
I give it a 7.5. And I want to add to something real quick because Jeff asked if it's been like this. The only time I had a problem with Jeff Parker on this book was when he wrote Man-Thing completely wrong.
Mm. Right.
It's the only time I've ever had an issue.
How do you write a creature wrong that doesn't talk?
He did it.
God. Let's you guys.
Find out.
He was fine with Man-Thing.
Nah, I think it was one of those things where, if you know, before that team even started, when you had all the villains and everything, I think they wanted to add like a big monster to it, and they were just like, well, we can't do Fin Fang Foom. We're just going to have to take Man-Thing.
I love Man-Thing. Aaron,
he'll never hear this.
Well, I don't care. it's like pouring out a 40 for your homie.
It's like pouring out of a star. All right, moving on. Next is Jeff's pick. What'd you pick?
Uncanny X-Men number 9.
You guys are gonna like this one. You ready?
Yep.
Prison Break, featuring the Avengers. Kieran Gillen wrote it. And Carlos Pacheco drew it. I probably butchered that.
Pacheco. Carlos Pacheco.
I know he's your BFF, so.
No, he's really not. But this is the week for creepy villains in a Marvel comic book. For those of you who may not know, or Kieran Gillen wrote a short-lived series called Sword, where he introduced this robot creature prisoner named Unit, who is being held on the Sword's Peak space station. And Unit is very much like a robotic version of Hannibal Lecter, very calm, cool, and collected, but is really a psychopath and will manipulate and will do anything he can to basically screw people up, but all with like this, almost this kind of sinister smile on his face. And so in this issue, Kieran Gillen brings Unit back into the Marvel Universe and or picks up kind of where he left off with Sword, and has Unit make a prison break aboard the space station. And so Unit goes down to Earth and is creating all kinds of havoc. And while the X-Men and the Avengers are kind of cleaning up all these aliens who have escaped, Unit is doing some crazy ass shit. I mean, he is, and there was a couple things where I just was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that this is an X-Men comic book. He finds this father and his son in the woods, and he basically murders them, but it's like all on panel, and it was just very disturbing to me, especially because Unit's dialogue is so he doesn't seem very threatening, but he's very psychotic. And so that was the real reason why I really enjoyed this issue, is because I have, for those of you who may have been listening to COC or anything else that I've been on, Uncanny X-Men has not been my favorite book. In fact, it's been my least favorite book on my list for a long time now. And this was just a different change of pace. So, and it really all had to do with Unit. That was the only parts that I really, really enjoyed. And I liked the fact that he single-handedly took down the Generation Hope cast, which was pretty cool. But the
it's
art
funny,
is
now every time I hear that I hear ba-dum bum.
Yep. the art is okay. It's not my favorite. Carlos Pacheco is kind of a very run of the mill, not very dynamic. There's not really much to this art that really is just blows me away. But I really felt like Kieran Gillen did a good job with Unit and making him a pretty sizable threat to the X-Men. So that's let me think. Yeah, I think that's all I got to say. So, what do you think, Dan?
Well, first I'm gonna give a little love to the pervs in the crowd, Billy, creepy Uncle Eli, and pervy Dan. The unit is one badass vibrator.
yeah, he is.
That is.
I'm so glad you mentioned it before I did.
Yeah, that's
here's
good.
Something. Look at the pages when he's on the ship. He's got water in the tank. I don't know if you notice that. And then when he's on Earth, he's completely like a machine. Bubble.
He doesn't have water in the tank.
Yeah, he does. He has bubbles on his side.
Like yeah.
Oh, you mean inside of him?
In the vibrator.
Yeah, and then when he's on Earth, it's not. I noticed that too.
Yeah. So okay. So what? Weird flaw pointed out. I will 100% say that Jeff is spot on with the creepy Marvel villains for the week because that character is absolutely insanely awesome.
Yeah.
The way that it was written was fantastic. I don't care what else happened in the rest of this crappy ass issue. I 100% love this character. I'm ready for his own title. I really don't have anything to say about the rest of this book. I just want to talk about the unit because that the way it was done, I was like, this is Marvel, this isn't Max. Because I didn't think they'd show something like that. Like, well, hold on a second. I haven't seen a human before, so let's just dissect you right now. Okay, that's over and done with. Oh, kid, don't worry. You'll be fine. Go to a safe place. Boom. Goodbye.
Yeah, they showed him blowing up the kid's head. I mean, wow.
Absolutely hilarious. And you're right. I mean, the way he acts is just completely monotone. It's just, okay, next. And then Hope comes along, and now everybody's just like, do it! Take her out!
Yeah.
But I think we know what's going to happen, and it's funny, I don't read these books, and I can probably tell you what's going to happen. Who's the little Alpha Flight guy who goes headfirst into him? That was pretty good. But I don't know. Oh, and we mentioned him, so Fin Fang Foom is in this issue.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I thought about Jeff when I... when I saw that.
He totally shouldn't be. I don't know why they'd go attack him. It's not like they were keeping him prisoner on a spaceship.
Well, they were.
Why would the Green Lanterns keep him
protected? Fin Fang Foom is an alien. You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know he was an alien.
Yeah, he's an alien. That's how they get down.
It doesn't matter. He's awesome. He needs to live in a volcano and be...
But he looks too small, though, to be, you know, like he shrunk some.
What kind of power is the guy? Hold on, let me pull my organ out of my pocket.
Yeah, that was good.
But yeah, unit yay, everything else boo. Especially I still don't understand why Colossus has to wear the helmet and why he's bald. Why would you magically just turn into someone else?
Because he's Juggernaut now.
No, I understand that, but I don't think he...
I don't understand why he's bald. I don't understand why he's bald, because even Kane Marco wasn't bald.
Because when you're bald, that gives you a more sinister presence.
I guess so.
Yes.
Everybody knows you can... It just doesn't work. Maybe people for years were like, how come everything can turn to steel except for his hair?
No, his hair turned to steel. He didn't have, like, wavy locks when he transformed. Mm. You were too busy eyeballing Iceman.
I was, apparently. So, okay, I'm done.
All right, well, you guys have pretty much summed it all up. That's why I hate going last. Story-wise, I did like it. Like you said, Jeff, he was real Hannibal Lecter-ish, and that added to the creepiness of it. I didn't need to see Cyclops. You know, we need a big mission. We need a big one. Dude, shut up.
Yeah, that was stupid.
I'm so tired of Cyclops anyway. But other than the prison break thing was great because you usually don't see Brand come and ask them for help so willingly. She's usually a straight up bitch to all of them. And, you know, she's like, look, we need help. Art wise, I had my issues and it mostly had to deal with proportions. The beginning of the story was great. The whole Peter and Alanya thing, you know, as she's in her cage, that was great. But if you look at him walking away, why does he look so squat?
Oh, I forgot to point that out.
Oh, yeah, he
See,
does.
He looks so squat, but I like what made that whole sequence great, aside from that ugly part of the artwork, was Danger's inner monologue throughout their whole exchange right there between the brother and sister. Like, she is like, I honestly think she'd rather just kill her and get it over with. Now, another thing that annoys me is, like, when there's an artist that draws a woman, if you draw her scantily clad, whether it be workout gear or not, let's not make her look flat and just horrible. Like, Emma's body looks just horrible. Like, especially the panel where she's talking with Namor and Scott's, like, up at the tower, not paying any attention to his woman. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that whole sequence is going to lead into what I said earlier, when these teams split and Namor ended up on this team. We're going to have the whole love triangle theme, but this time it won't be Scott and Logan. It'll be Scott and Namor fighting over Emma, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Other than that, the colors is what made it great, because UNIT looks awesome from space to Earthfall. And aside from several of the proportions of the bodies to where they just look ridiculously awful, the book was awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it had its faults, but it was more so visually.
I don't understand
with the writing.
I don't understand the purpose behind a few issues ago. Emma was in diamond form and she lost her arm. Like, her arm got broken off. Mm-hmm. And now she's better, and that's why she's doing the workout and all that stuff. I don't understand the point of breaking her arm off. I thought, like, that was going to be a long kind of slow build, but, like, her arm got reattached, and now she's fine.
How did it get reattached?
I don't even know. They showed a panel last issue where they were basically, you know, the science team were reattaching Emma's arm in her diamond form, and then she could turn back and it was fine. But
you know, Jeff, like you, I thought they were going to keep her. She'd have to stay in diamond form, which means they'd be down a telepath.
Right.
And like I said, that would have been a ballsy move, except we just got the broken arm off of shock value, and that was it.
Yeah. It just didn't make any sense to me, but
yeah, they should have left her without the arm. It should have taken the science. Even if the science team could apply it, they should have taken, like, maybe after the whole Avengers X-Men battle, because it would have made it a whole lot more interesting.
Well, obviously that's why they've reattached it so quickly. But
yeah, but I mean, how many? They have enough telepaths.
Yeah. All right. Well, I will give this book a 6.5.
I give it a 4.
I give it a 5.5. I actually will commend the artist for drawing Hope like a 14-year-old girl and not a 28-year-old sex kitten.
Except for the whole she's holding these huge guns in her hands.
Yeah. Still, she's 14. I hate it when these guys like are drawing her with like the huge rack and the half-naked sexy curve. I'm like, isn't she a kid?
Right.
No.
Shame on you, Marvel.
She developed quickly.
There you go.
That was her mutant power.
She's from the future. They're evolving.
Right. No, so she's from now. She just traveled.
I know. Anyways,
don't explain it.
Moving on to a book that probably has to be explained to some people.
That's exactly right.
My pick this week is Rebel Blood number 1. From the desk of Officer Red Prospero. While you were out, the world went to hell in a handbasket. A highly infectious disease has turned every living thing into zombies. Your neighbors will rend your flesh with their bare teeth. So will the rats. And if the rats don't, the squirrels will. Save yourself. Stay in the woods. Pray it hasn't reached the wolves. And keep your gun loaded. Story by Alex Link and Riley Rossmo. And art by Riley Rossmo. Alright, so you're like, why? Why, Dan? Why did you pick this? Oh, I don't know. Riley Rossmo?
Yeah.
Riley's first real big jump into writing, where he's working with his good buddy Alex, led me to pick this one. And I read this a few weeks ago and reviewed it then. So it was awesome to read it again. What, you know what, anybody who's read maybe Roadkill Zoo, yeah, the three of you out there.
I was going to say, nope, never read it.
Or anything else that would have zombie animals, you might be like, yes, finally we get to check this out. But this was, I love this. I loved everything about this. And yes, Riley's artwork, blah, blah, blah. But the way the story is told was just absolutely amazing. I love the fact that in comic book form, they were able to add so much jumping around and still make it work. And I'm sure one of you was going to completely disagree with that. But like all this, like there's something going on with this character. And you just, you don't get the whole story in this issue, but you get the fact that he's like having internal issues. He's always working things out in his mind, always trying to figure out how things could have been different. He ends up in the forest playing forest ranger for the most part. And, you know, things just all of a sudden go crazy and he's trying to find his way back to civilization to see if the wife and kid are all right. And shit just goes down. It hits the fan. And, you know, certain scenes, like, I really like the panels where it's one continuous panel. You can't see any technical breakup in it, and you'll see movement. And the movement goes from left to right. And, you know, visual storytelling and everything, I think, just really played into this. I know you guys are going to have questions about the green scenes where everything
was in. What page are you talking about?
Am talking about page... I don't know.
Okay.
I don't have page numbers here.
All right.
Freaking image. Give me page numbers. There's a few scenes like that. There's the one in particular that I'm looking at is he's inside when he runs inside the cabin.
Okay.
Right before the end. Right before he sees all the crap hanging and the rats going crazy on everything. But anyway, okay. So I enjoyed this, but I'm sure we have differing opinions on this one, so I'll go ahead and give the speech.
Alrighty. Yes, you gave it to me. Now, I could just do this in true fanboy fashion and give you an opinion without having read the issue. So, what? Maybe I didn't even read the issue. But maybe I can give you an informed opinion.
Do it.
Nah, I'm not one of those guys.
Robert Feld, fuck you. You're a douchebag.
No, those guys are douchebags. I'm not going to read the book, but I'm going to tell you how bad it is. I hate those guys. All right. I gave you props for picking a book with a cover like this because it's so you. It's yeah, so you. I love the cover. Cover is just awesome. So I open it up and bam, you've got the whole, you know, PETA would have a fit right now if they saw what was going on in these first few pages. But overall, story was great. I liked it. I liked the jumping around. I liked that storytelling that isn't the same all the time. I every now and then it's good to just bounce around and be a little confused and out there. And it's the fact that the strong visuals here, when this guy was just taking the shotgun barrels to the wolves' faces, that was just that was great. I just figured he had the accident. Lost his balls for a while. He's going through some traumatic stuff with the wife and kid. You know, she's like, you got to man up, get you a job. You know, we got bills to pay. You know, screw your accident. And then we've got this worldwide crisis here. Now, I'm not too sure about the poacher and what happened towards the end there. But I'm sure we'll find out in later issues. But that picture with the owl, with the eyes in his mouth and like his regular eyes. Owls are creepy enough as it is. That panel right there made me a little nervous.
You're not down with the owls?
I didn't say that. I just said they're creepy. They're creepy as it is. And then you got the you got Antlerhead popping up in every other panel, which is making it seem more and more creepy. And you got the Vision. So everything about this book pretty much screamed not going to follow the usual suspense. Sequential storytelling, like timeline things, which was great. It was a nice departure from the norm. You know, you get your 5 to 6 panels, move on, 5 to 6 panels, move on. You get one straight story. I love the way this bounced around. And that last page was just wicked. I think I would have threw up as soon as I walked in that room if it was me. So this is definitely something I would want to, you know, read all the way through and see what happens next. So I'll go ahead and pass it off to Mr. Sunshine himself.
What the hell was this? I'm serious. What happened in this book? I read the words. I looked at the art. I saw the panels. I don't know what is going on in this book. I'm serious. I don't know what's going on in this book. I mean, I get the character. I get all that. And I don't think it's. I was really trying to think. Okay, why is this? What don't I get? And so I was trying to like take this apart and be like, okay, what am I not getting here? I mean, and it's not the art, because there are panels that I really think are striking and original, and I like Riley's sketchy style and it's stylized and I like that. So it's like, okay, I like that, but why didn't I like this book? And I just think it had to do with the script and that story progression. Now I understand if there are some, maybe he's having flashbacks or maybe he's having some weird visions or maybe he's, but I couldn't tell. I had to do a lot of guesswork in this.
They're in different colors, Jeff.
Well, okay. Well, that leads me to another thing. the colors, I didn't feel like the colors helped this book at all. In fact, when I got to the last page and he opens up the room and there's the bodies hanging from the ceiling with the mice on it or the rats on it, I didn't even realize that I didn't even know there were rats on it at first. I looked at it and I was like, oh, what is going on? And then finally I had to look at it and then I like flipped it upside down. I was like, oh, okay, there's a rat with a pulsating whatever on his back that's eating this thing. Like, and it had to do with the colors of this book. That like it's so muted and that I just had trouble keeping track of what was what. And you know, I did notice the green pages and how those were set apart, but I don't know. I just with a brand new book, I don't know. You come into a book with preconceived notions, and like you guys said, I mean, he's telling a story in a different way, and I respect that. But I just couldn't follow this. I thought it was I don't know. I feel like the colors hurt the book. Maybe this type of storytelling is just not my thing, and that's. I mean, obvious, and I need something a little bit more straightforward and less surreal. But while I really liked the art, I would love to see him on other stuff. But this book was this script and story wise, this was horrible.
You know, he did some scenes in Dokken.
Did he?
Yeah, he did the tripping scenes.
I didn't mind that. Yeah, I like his style. I do like his style. The other thing was there was one other point where he's standing on the balcony of the tower that he's in. He's playing the guitar, and then he drops the guitar over the side. Like, I didn't realize there's a panel there where it's like he's hanging over the side, and then there's a panel where it's just kind of – I guess those lines are supposed to be like motion lines, but to me it looked like rain. – Okay. And so I felt like it was raining, and then all of a sudden, then it's broken, and so it's things like that. Like I had to do more work than I really felt like I wanted to do with this. And maybe that's what he wants the reader to do, is to do a little bit of work and not just hand the images over and the script over to people and just say this. You know, maybe he wants there to be a little bit more interpretation going on, but I don't know. Maybe okay. I'm overthinking. I don't know.
Maybe you're trying to go too deep. But all right, yeah. Well, let's go ahead and rate this. I give Rebel Blood a 9.
I give it an 8.
I give it a 4.
All right, moving on to our backups. Speech here first. What are your backups this week?
Oh my gosh, I actually had a very, very good week. So, but I'll just go ahead and. Backups will be Amazing Spider-Man 682.
You stole.
Okay, you stole all of us.
Well, hey, it was the first part of the Ends of the Earth story, and it was great Dan Slott is the freaking man. And I'm so glad I had to eat humble pie, because when I was told I need to start picking up his run, I was like, really? Because Spidey stopped being cool a long time ago. And needless to say, I've been reading Slott's work ever since he got on the series. So it's that was a big, great, fantastic book. And I'll also say that I'm loving Star Wars Dawn of the Jedi Force Storm number 2, which is basically Ostrander and Dracima are telling the very beginnings of the Force and the Force users and the whole Star Wars franchise. It starts here. So if you've never read anything, or if you weren't all that into it and don't know a lot about the mythos, it's fine, because he's telling it as it happens here. So it's just real great. And this is like the perfect Star Wars duo, period. From the artwork to the writing, just very strong characters, very strong title. So those would be my top two backup picks.
Cool. Well, since you stole mine with Amazing Spider-Man, my other backup was, as strange as it may sound, Generation Hope number 17, which was the final issue of Generation Hope, which is good. I'm actually glad that it's over. But this was a good issue. I mean, it was a good ending. The character of Kenji flips out and tries to kill Hope. But what really made this a great ending was, I mean, they actually have a good creative team on this book, and now it's canceled. James Asmus is the writer, and Takeshi Miyazawa, who those of us who have read old issues of Runaways remember. Do you remember Miyazawa's work, Dan?
Nope.
He's on the Cloak and Dagger issues.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So I really like his style. I like that manga-esque kind of style. And so he was on this and did the last two issues. And it was just really – he draws great teenagers and makes them actually look like teenagers. So so it was great. Just a good, solid closeout issue that really I was really pleased. But I'm also glad that Generation Hope is over. So,
you guys didn't say that on Twitter. Billy said we should do another BKV Love Fest.
Well, did you see what I put? What I responded to him? I said we should do a Liefeld Love Fest.
We did talk Liefeld to start.
X-Force, Hawk and Dove, and some Youngblood. You know, we could.
Hell yeah.
Maybe a little Captain America.
I'm going to be very sick on that show.
The big-breasted Captain America. Fantastic.
See, I don't know. I like the guy. I just don't like his work.
Yeah. Don't say that about Billy. Jeez. Jeff, any more backups?
No, that's it.
All right. Once again, Amazing Spider-Man was stolen from me. What I really liked is the artist on this one gave us, in my opinion, a better idea of what Doc Ock looks like.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool. My other backups are going to be Monocyte 3, Hoax Hunter 0, and the Goon 38. And special mention really goes to the Goon 38, because I probably would have picked that one. It was really, really – it shows that Powell just doesn't do weird, funny, monstery stuff. He can actually really write a real heartfelt story for anyone who hasn't read I think the Chinatown OGN. The Goon Chinatown OGN. So the issue number 38 really showed that he can cover it all. So what do we got for Stay Away From?
Stay Away From picks. That I would have said Generation Hope, just because I just think the title has sucked for way, way, way too long.
That's sorry, fair Jeff. Enough. No. I don't disagree with you. That title has...
Yeah, I actually didn't read anything bad last week. I'll say my least favorite of the pile was Witchblade number 154. Just halfway through the issue, I just lost interest.
More people in chaps.
Yeah, and it's not even that. It's just like, why? I mean, I understand, you know, teenage boys, guys, you know, we want to see the scantily clad chicks, but I also want a story. And it just seems like there's more time spent drawing that. I mean, you've got this fantastic artist on the title, and we get one huge fight scene finally that takes place in the past. But like it's like he gets one cool thing to draw each issue, and that's it. and the artist on here, the guy is just great, and I just want some cooler shit other than half naked women every other panel. So, you know, that's my gripe. You can put my soapbox away.
All right. My stay away from is New Mutants number 39 by Abnett and Lanning and Leandro Fernandez or something like that. I don't know what the guy's name is. But anyway, just the art in this book is just horrendous. It's so dark, and I just don't feel like New Mutants needs to be this dark.
Created.
It's just that. Honestly, I mean, this is a weird team, and honestly, Abnett and Lanning are doing not a very good job on this. This storyline, I like the idea of it a little bit better. They're trapped on an island, and everybody has this virus except for Warlock. But Warlock, too much Warlock talk is
self-friend.
Yeah. And he narrates this issue. And it's it's all that kind of stuff. So I would stay away from New Mutants. And my other stay away from is Wolverine number 303, which was the end of Jason Aaron's run on Wolverine, which has been a fantastic run. But this just went out with a whimper. He's back in Japan, and they're trying to reorganize all of the stuff going on in Japan. But, you know, once again, the art is just completely hindering the story, and Billy Tan wants to make Sabretooth look like a Yu-Gi-Oh character with like spiked hair, and like for some reason he's got a headband on, like it's Sabretooth. Like, why does he have a headband on? So anyway,
doesn't want the sweat or the blood to get in his eyes, man. That's why everybody wears a headband.
I guess.
So hold on. Did this issue have the multitude of artists like the last three issues?
Yeah, it had Steven Sanders. Plus, they added another person in to I can't remember who the other artist was, but yeah. So they added another one in, and it just not good. Not good. So yeah.
Drop the damn title.
Well, I think I am actually. So I have to cut down my list. So that's one of the things that's gonna, you know, due to all of my things breaking in my house. So
there you go.
Okay, what's yours?
I had a really good week. So the one book that was kind of on the border was definitely going to be Road Rage number 2 from IDW, the Stephen King Joe Hill book. I don't know. It's not there. I think art-wise, the entire cast all just looks the same. So it's kind of confusing as to figure out which biker is which biker. It wasn't as good as I had hoped it was going
to
be.
Are you trying to say all bikers look alike?
No, but they're drunk. That guy they are.
I've actually heard that's a pretty good series. Like, I've never read it. You know,
well,
the first two issues
were one story, and now that story's over. Two more to go. I don't know what to tell you. So I didn't care for it. That's all I can say. So, yeah. With that, we always remind everybody to tune in and check us out over at TMV Cafe, and of course, find out everything that we're up to over at ComicAttack.net. From chirps to reviews to podcasts to news to blah and the forums, and there's other stuff from the Jell-O pudding.
That's right. Cosby loves ComicAttack.net.
Speaking of other podcasts, what's going on with COC this week?
Lady Deathstrike versus Wonder Man on the Peak space station. And that is our own Infinite Speech versus Creepy Uncle Eli with Wonder Man. And go out there, vote on the forums, look up COC Podcast, and check it out. Lots of good stuff going on.
Very cool. Very cool. We got a couple minutes here. What do you guys want to talk about? I'm just kidding. The show's over, bitches.
Oh, man, you got my hopes up.
Oh, go ahead. You really do have 2 minutes until we hit an hour. So go
I mean, we actually finished under time today?
I know. It's a Christmas miracle. Now we can go spend time with our wives.
There you go.
slash livin's. I don't know what your situation is there, Speech.
All I know is I'm going to spend the next few hours writing and packing.
Packing? Uh-oh. For what?
Huh? A trip. All
right.
I can't say on air.
Uh-oh. Oh, man. All right. Well, have a good trip then.
Yeah, I will.
And next week we will have a special guest on with me and Speech.
Is it Brian K. Vaughn?
It might be Rob Liefeld.
Billy is. Just
that would be nice.
That would be nice.
Have a good week, everybody, and don't lose your heads.
Don't.
Thank you.